Lord's Prayer, the Disciples' Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, we recite these words often enough, but do we really mean, give us this day our daily bread? And what do we mean when we say that, when we ask that of God? I'm glad you asked. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We continue our series, How to Pray, and today we're looking at this petition, Our Daily Bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, the Sermon on the Mount, as it relates to this, as well as the Heidelberg Catechism. It's all part of our series, How to Pray. Give us this day our daily bread. What are we asking of God in this? Here's Pastor Chris.
For now, we're going to read Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, and this brief section here where Jesus encourages us of the Father's disposition and help he desires to give us who are in need. So this is Matthew 7, beginning at verse 7, where we hear, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" And there ends the reading of God's word. And one question and answer tonight on page 62, Lord's Day 50. What does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our work or worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in you alone. Well, the more that I study the scriptures, and I remember R.C. Sproul saying years ago that we study the Old Testament particularly because one of the reasons is because we learn about the goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord. We learn his character. And that is true, that what we see, and the more that I study the scriptures, I see that God cares deeply to provide for us and to supply all of our needs, to care for even the daily needs of his people. That's a marvel to us, that God watches over each of us, knows us by name, knows the hairs of our head, and cares each day about the daily needs that we have. It came right out of our Lord, as we heard tonight. How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? He desires to care and provide for us, and he desires that we come and ask him for that care. Ask him for that shepherding care, that love, that provision, the daily help that we need. It's all over our Heidelberg when it says things like that we should come in true faith with childlike trust that he will provide everything that we need for body and soul, and that we believe that God will, we trust him so much that we do not doubt that he will provide whatever we need for body and soul and turn to our good whatever adversity he sends to us in this sad world. That's how involved, that's how caring he is for us, that's how much he watches over you. That's a hard thing for us sometimes to understand and accept, especially because of sin. We struggle with his fatherly care, and we struggle with the question of whether God is for us. Many of us struggle with that question. We sin, and the immediate thing that we do to him is begin to think that God is against us. And this is a peculiar benefit that we have then as we come to this particular petition, which is training us to always remember that God is for us, that God desires to help us, that God desires to provide for us, and that it's God's purpose in life that we don't live in fear and anxiety. Did you hear me? That you don't live in fear and anxiety. That's his purpose. That's his will. He's told us that. If we are honest, fear and anxiety in life, the stresses that come about, often have to do with the question of worry of whether God is really caring for us, and worry because circumstances have changed, things have happened that call into question God's goodness, whether God is going to care for us, and all the stresses and anxieties that then follow are because we struggle with this basic area in life of God's care and provision. Well, in this single petition tonight, the fourth petition, we're asking God something very specific. We're asking him something very appointed. We're asking God to care for all of the needs that we have in human life so that our lives would be preserved for his glory. That's a good way of looking at this particular petition tonight. We're asking that God would provide food for us. Yeah, it's that simple. That God would feed us. That God would watch over our physical lives. That God would care for us and all the needs that we have. That's what this fourth petition is meant to do. This is what Jesus told us to pray. With this prayer, I think tonight it's important to say one of the goals that I have particularly for this sermon is to help us understand that it's easy to say this tonight, and I'll go through some of the challenges that we have because of this, since our shelves are full and we are a blessed people. The one of the basic reasons for praying this prayer is because it is an exercise in trust. You have to understand that. This is an exercise in trust. When we're coming to the Lord, we're training our minds in prayer to learn to depend upon him, to learn to trust him. This is a recognition of that. This is why the Lord wants us to come daily before the throne praying this particular petition, because it's training our minds to realize we are dependents. We fight our whole lives trying to become independents, don't we? You know how quickly I wanted to become an independent? And that was rather stupid. I had a lot of benefits in my parents' house, didn't I? We want to be independents. But the Christian faith says you're never an independent. You're dependent. You're dependent upon him for everything. That little ticker in your chest tonight that's beating, he's upholding. The breaths that you're taking right now, he's giving to you. The sight you have to look at the pastor right now, he gives you. The ears, the mind, all of that, he is upholding in his providential care so that you can hear this tonight. It's a marvel, life. Problem is, we go through life not recognizing it. Well, Jesus told us to pray tonight to the Father that the Father would provide all of our needs for all of our needs in this life. And that's the first thing I want to look at, that the Lord wants us to understand that he is good to us this way, he will provide for us this way, and that then requires, which is a basic breakdown here that the Heidelberg gives in this question and answer, it's really helpful to say, then we are called, secondly, to trust him in everything. That's the hard part. And the third aspect then is to give up our trust in anything else. To trust him, to give up our trust in anything else. So he's telling us up front, he's going to care for us. Trust me, stop trusting others. That's the simple breakdown of this particular section tonight and what we're considering in this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. What I particularly love about the petition tonight is that it provides for us the resources for everything else he's told us to pray for already. Think about it. The glory of his name, the advancement of his kingdom, the doing of his will would be impossible if he doesn't provide the resources for us to be able to do those things. So you see how important this is. You see how the prayer is carefully constructed. The Lord Jesus is telling us there's a logical way of prayer, and there's a logical way to look at things in life, and that everything that he's told us to do in the glorifying of his name, in seeking for the coming of his kingdom, to perform his will, requires that he gives us the resources to do that. And without that, he couldn't tell us to pray those other things. So in a sense, the Lord already knows we need them. He's told us that elsewhere. But he's telling us now to recognize that we need them and that he's going to supply them. If our physical needs aren't provided for, what would become of the church? I think you see, we have lots of blessings that have been provided for us, even a church building going up. There's lots happening. The Lord has supplied many things to help us. He knows we need these things. And in his wisdom and providence, he orders all these things to help us and to build his kingdom and to advance the truth of the gospel and to provide the most basic needs that we have as human beings created in the image of God. Well, this is the peculiar aspect of Christian faith and who we are is to recognize these things. The Lord told us all throughout the scriptures that his goodness can be seen falling on everyone. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust. Psalms say the Lord is good to all. The question is, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Who recognizes it? Who sees it? Who acknowledges him? Who acknowledges his blessing? Who depends upon him? There's a fundamental difference between the believer and the unbeliever in this basic truth that the believer recognizes his need and the Lord's provisions, and the unbeliever does not. He's satisfied in himself. He's independent. So think of the basic way the Lord told us to pray this petition in confidence tonight. Give us this day our daily bread. It's really remarkable, isn't it? He wants you to be able to come with that kind of confidence to him. Give us this day, O Lord, our daily bread. For any of the Jewish disciples standing there, hearing that, that would have been a loaded phrase. There are a lot of history to that they had. There was a long history to bread in Israel, wasn't there? The Lord had always told Israel he would provide for them. The Lord had always assured Israel he would care for them in the wilderness. Remember when we studied the tabernacle that he even set up the structure of the Lord's presence, and you had the most holy place and the holy place, and he put a little table in there. He commanded with bread on that table. And remember the priest would come in, and there would have to be freshly baked bread there all the time. Why? Did God need bread? Every week, 12 loaves of bread were baked the day before the Sabbath to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And they would replace them, and then the priests would eat the bread, the old loaves, and replace the new, brand new, freshly baked bread. It was a command of the Lord. Fresh baked showbread, always there, never not on that table. If you looked at every pagan religion, even the Buddhists, they're always presenting food to their gods. This was the reverse. God doesn't need your food, but you need his. You need his care. And the Lord was training Israel to realize that God would constantly care for them in the wilderness. Remember, this issue came up with Jesus and the Pharisees, and the Pharisees had begun to think it was their offering to God. And Jesus said, you forget that David was hungry. Interesting that David had a need. You're forgetting the purpose of this. That's what the bread symbolized. That's what the bread declared. The bread was given not as something that that we offered to God, but God was teaching Israel he would constantly provide for them. Constantly. They're in the wilderness. They had no jobs. Now think of the... It really does make it shameful when we're running around worrying and stressed out in life, doesn't it? They had no jobs. They got into the wilderness. They're going to mole around there for many years, aren't they, to learn this. They had no social security. You know, you're kind of worried about that, aren't you? A little? Maybe. The government of Egypt's not caring for them, right? They have no social programs. They can't collect unemployment. They have no retirements. You didn't retire in those days. They have no way of knowing how tomorrow's food is going to come. They're out in the wilderness. They are completely dependent on him for everything. Every day, how are they going to be fed? How are they going to be cared for? You imagine living like that? You can't. We've never known it. The Lord rained down bread from heaven on their doorsteps. Every week, when that bread was replaced with fresh new bread, he was always telling them he would sustain them. And the Psalms would constantly remind Israel of this throughout as they would sing. This is one of the constant things when they came to worship they would sing about. Think about this. Yet he commanded the clouds above, and he opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna on them to eat, and given them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in a south wind. He rained meat on them like dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were filled, and God gave them their own desire. What a God. He didn't mind giving them a good steak, did he? He's made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food, Psalm 111, to those who fear him. He will be ever mindful of his covenant. That's our God. That is what he's like to us. The hard part is to learn to trust him in every circumstance. Give us this day our daily bread. Worry and running around frantic and panicked is such an affront and so rejecting of his care for you that he's already proven, that he's already shown. Remember what Jesus said, which obviously meant a lot to him because he talked a lot about it. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry? For don't worry, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, your Father knows you need all these things. What kind of father is one that if his son asks for bread, he gives him a stone? God's never been like that to you. Ever. Now, I don't think it's hard to understand the basic meaning of this petition tonight. The Lord is telling you he's going to provide and that he desires to provide. That he's proved it. But I want you to think tonight, a little bit tonight about, and I think the Heidelberg captures it so helpfully when it says a few different things here about this. But listen to the language. Do take care of our physical needs so that we come to know something. So there's a recognition as he has provided for us that we are going to come to learn something. We are going to learn something. We're going to be taught something. We're going to understand something. And what we're going to understand is twofold. Listen to this. That you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. I think that is just fabulous and helpful tonight to understand how the Lord cares for us. The reason we are praying this, understanding God is in control of everything, is because first and foremost, we are learning to express childlike dependency. Childlike dependency for everything. Now, this is the most challenging aspect of the petition. Why? Because most of us here, and I don't want to speak across the board, maybe there are some who have suffered poverty, but most of us here, looking at other third world countries, we live like kings and queens. I don't know that there's ever been in the history of all the nations, even with Rome, that people have lived as well as us. Really. We are so accustomed so accustomed to having whatever we want that we can hardly imagine going without. You have at your disposal every single luxury under the sun that you can get. Look at it. Every possible enjoyment is at your fingertips. Look at all the advancement. Look at all the toys. Look at what we're constantly holding in our hands, phones. Look at all this. The challenge is that we become numb to the fact that we even have a heavenly Father who provides for us daily. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said, he didn't say, give us our daily bread. He was teaching us to pray, give us daily. Well, come on, right? When have you gone without? To make our complacency all the worse, society has set it up that if for some reason you can't have what you want now, charge it. Go get it. There's no stopping you to get what you want right now. There's always immediate gratification in our society. You can have it and pay the consequences later. The point is what does the request, give us this day our daily bread, mean to us anymore? You see the challenge of this? Do we really live from day to day even realizing that we need daily bread? Do we think like that? I know we have the practice. And boys and girls, this is why we gather around the table and we say, Lord, thank you for this. But we often go through this as if it's a mere routine, a heartless approach to prayer just to get through it to then chow, right? There have been societies and cultures and times where people knew this prayer and knew why they needed to pray it. There have been different nations and times where people really struggled every day. Give us this day, Lord. I have no idea where it's going to come from, but I trust you. I trust you. Did he let them down? Did he fail them? Well, you could ask him in heaven, where he's still providing for him. What does it mean to a people who aren't pressed and scrambling to find daily provisions and foods and necessities of life? And this is where I think we have to think a little bit about the discipline of it and what it's training our minds for. There are, as I see, three reasons this petition is important, with the basic goal here that it's training our minds to learn dependency and trust. Here's the first. Catechism says, and it's right, that it trains us to see God's goodness in everything. That is so important. I've always been moved when the Apostle Paul was out in Acts and he was evangelizing and he came upon a city and they began to worship Paul and Barnabas as Zeus and Hermes. What he said? You know what he said to them? Stop. And then he made an appeal to the God of heaven and earth. And here's what he said. He did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. He just said that to pagans. God is doing that for the world right now.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732. Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.